This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And Jason Bishop.
Hello, John Paul Flame.
Running the three-man shows this week as Cakes is on vacay. Talked to Chris over at Homewood Suites this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Took him a couple days. He's like, Cakes off this week.
Yep, I told him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chilly this morning. I know you park in the building. Park outside and walk a block.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. What is it, in the 60s or something?
Yeah, but it's so beautiful during the day.
The
sun comes out. Yesterday was just perfect.
Yesterday was a little on the cold side for me.
Really?
I'd like it to be a little bit warmer.
I like it in the 70s. I know you like it in the 80s and the 90s. I'm a 70s guy.
Yeah, I like it a little bit warmer. I went to the driving range in the evening, hit some balls, and it just was. I was wearing just a golf shirt and shorts, and it was just a little chilly for
Which
my
one
taste.
Have you settled in on?
You always go to Blue Mash. That's
okay.
Where I hit balls. Yeah. There was only one time I couldn't go there because their outing was so big, they weren't even letting people hit on the range. But yeah, that's my spot. That's where I go. It's hard. I wish I had something more convenient, but I just don't.
So how much of the Nats game did you watch last night?
I didn't watch any of it.
I went to bed. It was 1-1. Fetty was cruising. He was pitching really well.
Actually. I was up for the whole thing, but I was watching other stuff. I was watching a replay of Survivor with my daughter and just sort of monitoring it. I was hoping they were going to win. It sucks because they had so many leads. You know, they were up 5-48.
Three leads, I believe. At least two.
They were up 3-1. They were up 3-1. Suero allowed the 3-run homer. They were up 5-4. Rainey gave up the solo to Alonso, and then so I think it was just two.
Okay, just two.
Well, they were actually up 1-0.
Oh, true. Okay, all right. So Fetty blew that.
But the bullpen blew it twice.
Correct.
Suero and Rainey, and then if you just go down the ERAs, it's comical. I know EB was chiding me early in the season when we were looking at the ERAs, and I'm sure they will get better by the end of the season, but they are just embarrassingly bad.
Well, that was 2 weeks in the season.
Take a look at
you
the
don't
box
hear me say
score.
Anything now.
Take a look at the box score and look at the guys in the bullpen, and it's like 6, 8, 9. I mean, it's unbelievable bad the bullpen
Rizzo
is.
Rizzo has done everything he can do. I mean, how many moves has he made in the bullpen? 12? 10 or 12
Made
moves?
A lot. And Rainey's a guy who throws 100 miles an hour. They traded, that's who they got in return for the Tanner Roark trade.
Rainey's pitch apparently was 99.
Yeah,
and
he throws gas.
Alonso turned on it. And
Suero throws gas. Problem is, Suero threw a breaking ball to a guy who devours breaking ball pitches.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the decision-making is there. And then some people will complain about Davey Martinez keeping him in for a long time because I think they had used Suero the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 20 pitches deep, which doesn't seem like a ton. But for a reliever who's being used day after day and used a lot, maybe it is. I don't know. They just have a forest fire.
Well, it's also, it's location. I mean, you can throw 99 all you want, but major league hitters can hit that. It's location. So if you're throwing a breaking ball to a breaking ball hitter, well, the location's got to be tough where he, you know, it'd be tough for him to hit that. If the location sucks, he's going to be able to hit it.
Now, I was driving around, so I heard Charlie and Dave kind of kicking that one around. They're like, throw through a breaking ball after he had blown it by the guy. And then you look up the numbers, and the guy hits over 400 against breaking balls.
Yeah, well.
Well, you think they know that stuff, but who knows?
It's another blown lead. They've lost 18 of the last 26. Think about that.
I don't think Davey Martinez is long throttled. You know, we talked about the pitching coach being a fall guy a while back, and they replaced the pitching coach. How much longer do you keep Davey Martinez? They're 10 games under 500.
I don't know. The problem is you bring in a new guy, it's not really going to change anything. They're really struggling.
Probably not, but if you determine that Davey's not the right guy, you don't like his decision making, you don't like some of those things, then you move on.
They already know what they got in Davey. They already know.
Well, why keep him then?
Yeah, because they're paying him.
They already know the
season's lost.
Maybe they like him.
Bring in a guy who's going
like
to win more
plus,
games.
Yeah. They're trying to give him a chance to dig out of it, but they already know he's not special.
They know the season's done.
They know it's pretty much
already.
I mean,
they're 10 games under 500.
They've
lost
fire.
18 of 26. I mean, where are they going to go? Going on a 16-4 run? It's not going to happen. Not best, that bullpen.
Best they can do. The good news for them is it's a 4-game series, not a 3, so they can actually split it still.
They can't
that's
win
the
it,
best
but they can
news
split it.
That's come out of it.
I don't know. 10 games under .500 this early into the season.
I just don't think they'll pay. They'll add insult to injury and pay another new guy to come in. Like, you know, I just don't think they'll do that.
What's funny is the Mets were reeling. I mean, they were. There was talk in New York about getting rid of Callaway. You know, same things as down here. Everyone wants to get rid of Davey, but up there, they're just killing Callaway.
Well, no, since the Nats have come in, they've given Callaway a vote of confidence.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. So the Mets were dying. They'd lost 5 straight. They were 20-25. Callaway was on a hot seat. And then the GM, the new GM, comes out and says, yeah, from now going forward, I can't remember exactly the words he used, but going forward, he's our manager.
For the foreseeable future.
And now they've won 2 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll probably win at least one of the next two, probably win 3 out of 4.
Just sucks, man.
I thought the Nats were going to get it because I was, like I said, I was driving around listening to the game right here on 106.7 The Fan. And sure, they blow the lead, but then they take the lead right back. The Mets brought in a lefty to face Juan Soto with runners on first and third, and Soto delivered first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lead.
Yeah, it's 5-4.
And then the Nats blow it again.
Correct.
You just think the odds are eventually the bullpen's going to hold one.
Well, they have. They've had some moments, but they just don't do it consistently. And more often than not, they
can you go
they
through the ERAs?
Well.
You're on the box score right
oh,
now.
Oh, you mean the
bullpen ERAs?
Well, I just have the guys who pitched last night.
Yeah.
Swear was at 6-2, Sips at 5-4, Grace is at 8-2, Rainey's only been there 2 seconds, Bear Claw's at 5.
But what's Rainey at?
He's at 9. But
right, it's just
I see Bear Claw at 4.5, but whatever.
I'm sorry, 4.58, yeah.
So your best reliever that was used last night.
Well, look, it's the worst bullpen. It's the worst bullpen. We've said this how many times? It's the worst bullpen in the league. But Rizzo's made how many moves? He's replaced a bunch of guys. I mean, what else can you do? I would love to have seen Rizzo. I mean, he must have been fuming last night. And what happened at the end of the game when I saw the replay? But there was like a chopper to short to Turner, and he kind of backpedaled, and the Rosario beat it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tough play. That was the game winner.
But they
said
he hauled ass to first base. I mean, he got there super fast.
Oh, yeah, he's fast. He's
I mean, they have the StatCast numbers or whatever.
I mean,
like
I guess
4.03 seconds.
I guess there Turner's got to charge it, but that's a tough play. He's kind of in between. That's just the way the season's gone for the Nats this year. It's just a bad year.
I don't know if he could charge that.
Yeah.
The way that big
I only
bounce.
Saw the highlight.
You want to hear some Davey?
Yeah.
Okay. Like Groundhog Day.
All right.
It is Groundhog Day.
It's uninspiring, I'll tell you that.
We just got to keep, you know, for me, we got to just keep playing hard, keep playing hard. I mean, the guys are, you know, the wins will come. I know they will, but they got to keep getting after it. Like I said, I've seen, although we didn't win, I've seen some good things. And I think, you know, we just got to clean up those little nuances. Like I said, though, they're 0-2, 1-2 homers. You know, at that particular moment, you know, that's when you really got to make a pitch.
Mm-hmm. So it's not happening for the boys.
You do want to. There was a couple weeks ago where there was some urgency in his voice in one of those post-gamers. He's so uninspiring.
I know.
But apparently all the guys like him. And, like, you hear the reporters come on, like the Jesse Dougherty's of the world, like everybody that covers the team. And they say, like, to a man, they all love him, probably just because he's standing by him. But he's butt uninspiring. You know, I don't know.
We talked a lot about Anthony Rendon yesterday. And, of course, he's repped by Scott Boras. And Scott Boras apparently is telling people that the Nats, quote, missed the boat on re-signing Rendon.
Well, that's what Grant is telling people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe it. I believe
Grant's telling
it.
People somebody told him that. So, sure, it's true, but.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, there's plenty of time. We'll see how it goes. But things are not going too well over at Nats Park. Of course,
hey, that's why yesterday when we were kicking around which team of the three, excluding the Capitals, three big teams in D.C., do you have the most faith in terms of the future? I actually did not have the Nats next. I had the Redskins next. And that was just on pure hope that Haskins works out. Because if Haskins works out and you have really good quarterback,
I was going to say, the only
reason chance of winning.
The only reason you're saying that is because you haven't seen the Redskins play with all these new guys yet.
That is true.
Right, and you're seeing the Nats struggle. You're seeing.
I'm just basing.
And I kind of think their defense should be better. They were 7-9 last year.
It's easier to have a turnaround in the NFL too.
Yes,
from season to season.
Might be true, but I'm basing it on what the Nats tracker has been the last 5-6 years.
When's our show funeral for the Nats?
Ugh.
Probably should have been 2 weeks ago.
I don't know. They have.
When's All-Star break?
Yeah, right.
I think they have the third worst record of baseball, something like that. 1, 2, 3, no, fourth maybe.
Second worst in the National League, and then
in all of baseball, the fourth.
Orioles are worse. The Royals are worse. Not sure who else.
I'm just looking at winning percentage.
Miami, by the way, has won 4 in a row.
Actually, there's the Royals. They might have the fifth.
They're getting close to Miami because I mean they still have 5 more wins, but Miami's won 4 in a row to have 14 wins.
It's bad. We will talk to Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know what to ask him anymore. This is about as early as I can remember, just writing him off.
Well, we can ask him about Rendon. He won't tell us anything.
He won't tell us anything.
At least it's something different.
I do want to know, is he the guy who actually comes up? Like, who comes up with the offer?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, Grant was walking around here yesterday saying, well, if I'm the Nats, I just offer him $250 million. Well, is it Rizzo who writes it down and then it's got to get approved from the learners? The learners write something down? Is it somebody in the analytics department? Like, what? How do they actually come up with their
figures?
It's
a great question. My guess is that Mike would probably come up with it and then have the learners approve it. I mean, at some point, the learners have to approve it. So maybe they give him rough parameters.
And then
he draws up a deal.
Also, the back and forth with Boris.
Yeah, and then
go back and forth.
No,
there.
But I mean, like your
the
first
initial offer,
the official offer. Yeah,
the initial offer. I'm sure the learners give him some.
Force is always going to go way over the top. You say, all right, we saw what Nolan Arenado signed for. He's great third baseman, all star third baseman. Rendon is close. We'll go with Arenado's figure, and then they go. Boris is going to say, well, we want another $100 million.
Well, I mean, I think Boris is. They got to be realistic on the other end, but I think that they kind of know what the numbers. It has to be based on what the parameters have been the last year.
I'm telling
or so.
You, the more they lose, I think the more willing they will be to listen to trade offers to bring in a bunch of prospects.
Maybe, but
the
I would
team
only
is
do that.
Flawed.
I would only do that if you know you can't re-sign them.
The team needs more than a guy. Need a couple of reliable arms in the bullpen. Need a fourth and fifth starter.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
Can't argue, but I just don't
no
want
No one can argue. When you say the team is flawed, no one can argue with that.
Yeah. I just don't want to trade our stars for I would rather just grind out draft, keep drafting, and that sort of thing. I wouldn't want to trade our superstars. Unless you know for a fact you're going to lose them. If you know for a fact you're going to lose them, fine.
But now, Scherzer goes against the Grom tonight, so you can grasp a little bit.
That's a 50-50
of course they
shot.
Don't. Of course, they don't win for Scherzer.
Well, they haven't in the past. This year, they haven't.
Right, that's what I'm saying, this year. But 19-29 is just an alarming number.
I just can't remember.
To be 10 under 500 this early in the season.
That's just alarming.
So, I mean, you're trending towards being 20 games or 30 games under 500 by the end of the season.
Now, if they didn't have the injuries, you know, maybe they have 3-4 more wins, but they'd still be under 500.
Yes.
You know?
The injuries haven't really affected the bullpen. The bullpen's just been bad.
Bad. Yeah. Awful. Yeah.
So, and that's where they're blowing the majority of their games. Although
but
they're
look,
not getting great,
but it seems like twice a week Rizzo's making a move to.
Oh,
you know,
he's
I mean,
changing things.
They brought
up.
In Jennings; he didn't work out. They shipped him out. You know, they're bringing this Rainey kid. Rainey gives up the home run. Who knows what's going to happen with him? You know, they went out and got Sip. You know, they've made moves. I guarantee they probably made 10 moves in the bullpen.
He probably can't believe all these guys are performing so poorly.
Yeah.
Like at least one or two of them have to be hot. None of them.
They changed the pitching coach, grasping that might change things.
Like all the guys
and by the
are
way,
having
we
dreadful
that.
Years.
We called that. We called that Menhart wasn't going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And he hasn't.
Yeah. It's just, he's got to just be scratching his head going, can anybody perform like they normally do in the
when
bullpen?
When they go to the mound and they make a pitching change, it's just hope. They're just crossing their fingers. Let's hope we get one this time.
Yeah. It's sad. I mean, it doesn't make me happy at all because I'm a Nats fan. But.
All right. Phone number if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It is a game show Wednesday today. We'll give you a chance to win some Nats tickets at 7:45 this morning. We'll get into the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, now knotted at 2 apiece. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us, radio.com NBA Insider. He'll join us at 6:40. We'll fill you in on Redskins OTAs with John Keim at 8. And as we mentioned, Mike Rizzo, Nats GM at 9 o'clock. here on the Junkie.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I mentioned with the Nationals that I listened to Suero give up the 3-run bomb to J.D. Davis, and they brought up the stats. Couldn't remember them from last night, but in the Washington Post, they point out that Suero's curveball to J.D. Davis, which he allowed the 3-run home run, J.D. Davis was hitting 429 against curveballs. And after the game, Davey Martinez said, surprised he threw that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep saying you don't know if a manager is going to make a difference. This is a while back, and we mentioned this last week. At 19-29, or the Rockies in 2009 whacked Clint Hurdle. Basically, same record as what the Nationals have. And they brought in Jim Tracy, who then went 74-42.
What year?
And they made the playoffs. 2009.
Yeah.
10 games under 500.
It's just rare. That's
at the all. Exact same spot in the season. They made a move.
Sure, that's not the only
the team
thing, too.
I'm sure. Turned it around.
I'm sure there were some health issues. You know, there may be some other acquisitions they made.
But a lot of times, you're not firing a coach or a manager because you think the team's going to get suddenly better. You're firing them to get ahead of everybody else for your next manager so you can do a proper search.
Well, maybe they
there's
will.
A lot of so maybe you bring in Randy Knorr.
I'll just be kind of surprised if they do it. Maybe bring in an interim guy.
If
I just don't see him paying another guy.
My point is, in life, if you realize you made a wrong decision, and if the Nats believe they made a wrong decision, he's not the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
Why delay? Like, if you know you've got a terrible car, and it's all constantly breaking down, and you've come to the determination it's just going to keep breaking down, you get rid of it and you move on.
Happens all the time, dude.
You don't just hold on to it and hold on to it.
Happens all the time. People wait until contracts are up before they let go of people.
I know.
Happens all the time.
But what I'm saying is, in this case, that's a bad move. If you believe he's the wrong guy, look, I don't know how much changing the manager is going to change in terms of their outcome. And it could be too late. I mean, how far back are they in the division now? Nine games?
Yeah.
9 games back in the division. That is a steep uphill climb for anybody who takes over if you want to get back into the playoff mix. You'll need some help, probably. You'll need teams to go cold that are ahead of you. You'll need to sweep a bunch of series. Mm-hmm. You'll need to go on a streak.
We say that every week.
Right. But if you're looking at game strategy, if you're Mike Rizzo and you're looking at game strategy and you disagree with what's happening out there, you make the move.
Well, how do you know he disagrees?
I don't.
Exactly.
Right. So that's probably why.
And what are you going to do? Martinez said he was surprised he made the pitch. That's on the pitcher and the catcher.
I'm just saying, who's calling pitches?
Yeah.
Someone from the dugout.
Oh, no. I'm not
talking
about that particular pitch as it comes to the manager. I'm just telling you what the manager said after the game. Mm-hmm. Now, the game strategy, which some people had a problem with, was using Suero in the first place and using him as long as they used him based on the usage in previous games.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is,
I defer to their
is
judgment.
That what are you going to do with the bullpen? Like they're
trying.
They all stink.
They're trying.
So it's like, all right, Suero got a couple guys out. So let's keep Suero in.
Well, new manager's going to have the same.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am surprised.
What's the new manager going
to
do?
I'm surprised they've gone to Suero as much as they have. I know he throws hard, but man, he's had a lot of bad outings. I'm surprised that they've kept him.
And he's not like a guy that has a 10-year track record or anything. He's a younger guy.
I'm surprised. I'm just surprised. I mean, they've made all these other moves. You know, they're letting guys go and they're sending guys down.
I mean, Wilmer Defoe's in AAA.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they should have turned to Doolittle in the eighth. And I'm not saying for a 6-out save, but maybe in the eighth inning you use them. You know, sometimes you see teams use their closer earlier.
Well, if they had another guy, you know what? Maybe if they went out and got a guy like Kimbrel, I mean, I know they probably won't because he's going to cost a bunch of money. But if Kimbrell was on this roster, and he's just sitting at home right now, but if he was on this roster, you could have gone to Doolittle in the eighth instead of going to Rainey, right? And then you don't have to go to Bearclaw. You can go to Kimbrell.
Right, but how much does Kimbrell want? What does he want?
Who knows?
What are they saying, like 15, 20 million or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. I know they're not going to. I'm just saying if that was a luxury, then you wouldn't have to bring in guys like Rainey who's they just called up. Yeah. And Rainey throws hard, but, you know, if the location's not right where you want it, you know, Alonzo's going to turn on it. Alonzo's going to be the rookie of the year.
Yeah, in this article on NBC Sports Washington, they question why Bearclaw didn't start the inning off. They went with Rainey, and then Bearclaw came in, and Bearclaw's stats when he comes in with runners on base, he's horrific. Bearclaw's allowed 7 of 8 inherited runners to score this season.
Yeah, that's not good. I think you should probably ask him, ask Rizzo when we have him on at 9, that exact question about
the game strategy.
Yeah, about Martinez saying he was surprised that he threw that pitch. Say, who's calling the pitches and why is Dave Martinez
that's
surprised?
That's on Gomes. And Gomes, after the game, said they were trying to expand the zone and that Suero had just gotten out 2 hitters using that pitch.
Well, maybe
he had some logic.
Does he know that J.D. Davis hits 400 on breaking pitches?
Sure he did. Maybe
I gotta believe they run through those numbers beforehand.
I would think he did.
You can't remember all of them. I got that has to come from the bench, right? I mean, they got charts. If Menhart and Davies say, "All right, this guy hits 400 on breaking pitches," let's stay away from that. Let's just throw him gas. That's got to be relayed to Gomes.
I would be stunned if he was unaware of it.
I'm not sure of the process.
Yeah, let's go to Jeff in Dulles. Jeff, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you?
Good morning, gang. Good to talk to you again. So the Cognoscenti, the pundits, had the team at about 92 wins over under this year, and that's a heck of a season. So the expectations were high for this team, has been for about 5 or 6 years. But do you think locally, amongst the Nats fan, and I say this as an unabashed FP fan, but do you think because of FP's rampant homerism that around here we were expecting even more than what's possibly reasonable?
Because of FP, so you're blaming FP for the high expectations?
I think to tamp them up beyond even the 92, which is a great expectation. 92 is a great year.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't know what FP was predicting. I mean, most people, I heard Tom Lavero on with Dukes. Most people that were covering the team, or we had Eddie Matz on. Most people that were covering the team were predicting, you know, like a 90-plus win season.
Yeah.
The only person that went on the record that I know of was Danny. Danny didn't think they were that good.
Hey, look, I thought they were going to be good, too. I guess, and I love FP, I guess it's just I think something bad happens, and he's got an excuse for it, you know, explaining away this, that, and the other.
He works
and my own two eyes, I'm going,
he works for the team.
Apart.
He's just trying to, you know, he's not going to be critical.
I got it. Okay, yeah. Well, cool. Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
By the way, with the bullpen being the worst in baseball, there's some hope. Maybe Trevor Rosenthal will figure things out.
No, he just had another tough outing.
He just pitched an inning in double-A ball. 2 walks, a wild pitch in that one inning, gave up 1 run. Out of 24 pitches, he had
He's nowhere close. He's nowhere close. It's as bad as you can imagine as far as, like, control issues. Look, I don't know. This feels like rock bottom. Maybe it'll be rock bottom when they fire Davey, but I don't know. I just don't know how you bring in God. I just don't know how you're going to change things because you still have to go to Wander Suero, Tony Sipp, Matt Grace, Justin
maybe
Miller.
Maybe use them in a different order. Maybe you bring in Doolittle to start the eighth inning. Maybe you bring Bearclaw to start the inning instead of putting in Tim Rainey.
Doolittle's the
Bearclaw.
One guy you got going right. You want to screw him up? He's the one guy.
How's that screwing him up?
I don't know.
He's starting off an inning.
Yeah. Do you want to pitch eighth and not the ninth, or you want to pitch eighth and ninth?
No, you pitch him the eighth, maybe not the ninth, depending on which.
And then who's
going to
pitch the ninth? Tony Sipp? I mean, you know, it's a disaster. I don't know that I would move the one piece that's doing what he's supposed to do. Maybe I'd do a 4-out save like they've done a couple times.
Yeah, they've done a few times, right? Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, on the bright side, Eric Fetty pitched 5 good innings.
He did. He was cruising.
Yeah. So that was good.
I mean, you'll take that all day long from Fetty.
There are some things, but
when you get Fetty, go out there and give you 5. What do you allow? 4 hits?
I just don't know how Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker, Tony La Russa, I don't know.
But you say these things,
Yogi Berra. I don't know how they are going to change when your starter's done after five. Okay, you got to go to Matt Grace, Tanner Rainey, and all these other losers.
But that's a defeated attitude. Well, because just, managers do make a difference.
Okay, but
do you acknowledge that managers can make a difference?
They can. Not always. They can, and they need pieces. A manager can't make a terrible player better.
That's true. However, they make different decisions. I'm not saying that if they whack Davey Martinez and they make the first base coach the manager or whatever they decide to do, that it's going to be a magic elixir. But if you've decided that Davey Martinez is just not the guy, which most fans have come around to that.
Yeah.
Most people that watch the game say, he's just not the guy.
I would describe Davey Martinez as I do some of my old neighbors. Some are just duds.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just duds.
Right, so why keep the dud?
Yeah, you got them under contract. We get people that we've worked with before. They wait till their contract's over, and then they get rid of them. Now, in this case, they're not going to wait 3 years.
Now, if you would ask that to Rizzo today, and you say it's apparent that he's not the guy, right? And most fans think he's not the guy. Why not just make the move now? I guarantee he's going to say it's not Davey Martinez. They have faith in Davey Martinez. They like Davey Martinez.
And he has to say that.
The guys like, you know, playing for him.
He has no option but to say that.
But if they thought...
Could you imagine if he said something different? Then Dave Martinez would be fired on the spot.
That's my point. So if they thought he was such a big problem, they would have already made the move. I don't believe they think he's the big problem.
I think they're hoping for the turnaround. The thought was, when we get healthy, we're going to start rolling. They're mostly healthy now.
Yep.
Okay? Matt Adams and Zimmerman are out.
Yeah, I agree. And they've lost three straight. They've lost 18 of 26. The numbers are what they are, and they'll probably get a little bit better, but they're not going to win the division.
Well, they've hit a little bit better, right? They scored five runs, won 5-2. They lost 6-5, but scored five runs, 1-2-3. Three of their last four games, actually, scored five or more. Four of their last five of their last six. You know, I don't know. They're hitting a little bit better.
Oh,
the bullpen
yeah.
is just terrible.
They should be.
Yeah. And their fourth and fifth starters. Helixson's now on the injured list.
Yeah. Yep. He'd probably never come back. You'd probably never see him again. I mean, what's the point?
And they brought up Javi Guerra.
Yeah.
Now, is Guerra going to replace him? I guess so. I guess Guerra replaces him in the rotation, or are they just going to go with Fetty?
I'm guessing they go with Fetty.
Well, Sanchez is out, too.
That's true. Sanchez is out.
Yeah, so Guerra will replace him.
Yeah, it's just a brutal, brutal year. You said you were watching Survivor, not watching...
Yeah,
the Nationals.
A replay of
you also weren't watching the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
A lot of people thought the series was over at 2-2 now. And Kawhi didn't even play that well. I looked at the bench points.
That's what it was.
Take a look at the bench numbers for Toronto. They got, I think, 18 points from Powell, 17 from Ibaka.
Van Fleet gave him 13. Yeah, that
was basically playing out the home teams are winning. Same deal.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to be joined by Brian Scalabrine next. Brian Scalabrine, everybody kind of remembers him because he had red hair. And he was in the NBA.
Played a long time.
You don't see many gingers in the NBA. And Brian Scalabrine now a Radio.com sports insider. So we'll talk to him about the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, about the Golden State Warriors, and maybe get his take on the Wizards next here on the Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is Brian Scalabrine. Played in the NBA for a bunch of years. Now he's a Radio.com sports insider. Has a new podcast out on Radio.com, Big Time Basketball. You can check it out on Radio.com, on the Radio.com app. And, of course, you can listen to him weekdays on SiriusXM NBA. What's up, Brian?
How you guys doing?
Doing great. We were just talking about how, you know, a few days ago, people said this series was over. Bucks up 2-0 and looked like the better team. And people were projecting Bucks versus Warriors. And now you got a series tied at 2 apiece. How has Toronto done this?
No question. I was in that boat as well, and it was even more impressive that we saw like a very average Kawhi Leonard. You could tell he's hobbling, and whatever the reason is, but Norman Powell, Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, Kyle Lowry, even Fred VanVleet, who made one shot the other night, all these guys rose their level in the absence of Kawhi. And that's what's really cool about the NBA. You're seeing a little bit of that with Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant out. We all think guys are good. We want to place guys in boxes. Oh, this is how good he is. I don't know if he's able to handle the moment. Then they get put in a situation, a little adversity, and man, did those guys deliver. I was in that boat. I thought the Bucks were going to, were going to win game four, go back and close this thing out. But looks like a series. Right now, it looks like Toronto is the better executing team. And Milwaukee, at times, you're wondering what's going on with their offense.
Yeah, Powell gave him 18. Ibaka, like you said, 17. VanVleet, 13. Very efficient. And guys like Siakam and Leonard probably a little gassed after the double overtime win in game three, right? So they win every quarter. The Toronto won every quarter last night. So now they got to go back to Milwaukee. Tough place to play. It'll be a different environment. So bigger challenge here for Toronto in game five.
No question. I do think Milwaukee is the better team. I do think Milwaukee, they got to kind of clean up what they're doing. The idea that Giannis can go isolation from the top of the key over and over again, that's probably not going to work. Like, as good as Giannis is, he's an MVP candidate. He probably will win the MVP. He's got a lot of flaws in his game. And it's up to Mike Budenholzer, the staff, and the guys on the Bucks to figure different ways to move him around. There's nothing wrong with being a decoy. There's nothing wrong with drawing two and getting rid of it early. I thought Giannis pressed a little bit, but the Bucks make shots at home. So once they start doing that, then the floor will open up a little bit. And I don't know. Like, it's, to me, Kawhi Leonard looks hurt. Mm. And I can't see Toronto winning this series with Kawhi Leonard hobbled. But it might be what you just mentioned. The 52 minutes that he played, which is the most he's ever played in his entire career, maybe that is, it's just a matter of, being worn out from that. And maybe now he can bounce back and play well on the road. The one thing about the road, superstars are superstars on the road. Guys like Kawhi Leonard, they're not bothered. Like the elite players, we saw Steph Curry, the elite players, they're not bothered that much by whether home or road. But those role players, those are the ones that really seem to step up when they're at home and struggle on the road.
Let's fast forward a little bit. What do you expect Kawhi to do in the offseason? Do you think he wants to stay in Toronto, or do you think he wants to go to L.A.? Do you think New York?
Nobody gets inside that guy's head.
What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, well, I guess what I would do is stay in the Eastern Conference. you sort of have a stranglehold on the East. I think Giannis is probably, at the end of the day, he'll be the best player out East, but Kawhi Leonard would be one of the most dominating players, especially in the playoff game. I would still pick him. If I had one game to win, I was in the Eastern Conference right now, I would still take him over anybody else. But, I think it's odd with free agency. It's like, think about buying a house, right? This person says it's great schools. This is a great neighborhood. This is the house you want. It has the amount of bedrooms you want, all that stuff. And you walk in, you're like, this isn't for me. Then all of a sudden, this lady's like, I don't know, let's just go take a look at this one. And for whatever reason, you fall in love with it. I think that's what, when it comes to free agency and these guys, I don't know if it's necessarily all about basketball. I think it's like where guys want to live. Where do guys see themselves? What do they like the weather? Does it come into play? It's like being around their family. Some people don't want to be around their family. I think those decisions come into play. And then at the end of the day, money. Like obviously Toronto can pay him the most amount of money. So you have to factor that in as well. Then when you go to another team, think about California, and it's like 13% state income tax, and it's expensive to live there. But some people are like, what's the difference between $140 million and $200 million? And I save a little bit of money on taxes. Some people don't care. Some people do care. I've seen it all over the board when it comes to free agents and guys that make decisions. It's very random. And as far as Kawhi, like, who knows what this guy's thinking?
Yeah. Now, you played for about, 11, 12 years in the league. Were you ever in a situation in one particular year where you had two or three different teams that you had an option of signing with and you had to go through that thought process?
Yeah, I was a free agent after my fourth year in the NBA. I was with the Nets, and I was playing a lot. I was like a rotational player. But, like, I guess in a way, I kind of felt like, well, man, I have a limit here as a player. Like as much they drafted me, they developed me, but they'll never think of me as a player that's going to be able to take that next step. So I searched and went to Boston. I thought Boston was a great place for me to see if I can take my game just another notch. And that's what I was looking for. And I think the money was very similar. Maybe the years were a little bit longer in Boston, so I went with that. But, you know, I always liked Boston. I always liked the Northeast. I played in for the Nets, and we had playoff battles. You could tell the fans were super passionate. And I think all those things went into play. But I think it's very different for me than a guy like Kawhi Leonard. Like, you know, I think for him, it's just – or even Kevin Durant. You know, he's in a great situation right now. Why would he leave that? But maybe he's just like, you know what? I want to try something else. I don't want to play with Steph Curry anymore. Why would you not? I don't know. But, you know, for him, it might be that. It might be a different challenge of life.
Yeah. So you played with KG and Pierce and Ray Allen, correct?
Correct.
One ring.
Got a ring.
Yeah, I carried that team. You guys won. Of course, you're right.
Did.
It's like without me. No, they never made it back to a finals without me. They made it two with me, and they never made it back. So
that's a good point.
I started out being humble, just being retired. But ever since then, I just, you know what? Why don't I just tell everybody the truth? I was like the backbone of that team.
You were. So did you get along with all three of those guys, or did you notice a rift between any of the three, or were they all good dudes, or what?
Yeah.
Give us something.
Once again, now this is actually a true story as opposed to the story I just told you. When I was there, everything was great. I could start to see the third year of it going a certain way. We won 50 games that year, and we didn't take the regular season seriously towards the end. Guys were like, you know what, we got to get healthy. I could start to see a little bit of the rift, but I went to Chicago after that, and then – let's see. So 2 years later, that's when the whole Danny Ainge almost traded Ray Allen for OJ Mayo, and Avery Bradley was coming up, and they thought Avery Bradley should have been a starter, and Ray Allen should have came off the bench. So all that stuff transpired. And I think when people think about the Ray Allen saga and what he did in the book and why he left Miami and he left these guys, people forget that he was like 5 minutes away from being traded to Memphis. And people just sort of ignore that. And when you're a guy of Ray Allen's stature, I think in his mind, he's thinking, well, if they just almost traded me, what are my loyalties to them? I'm going to go down and play with LeBron and ring chase. So you know, I think at the end of the day, I get it. Like those guys had, a, you know, they, I don't know if they made up in the book. Obviously, that's probably not the best move that Ray made, but he probably made the right decision. He made one of the biggest shots in the history of basketball,
a history-changing shot.
So at the end of the day, if he was ring chasing for another one, he probably made the right decision.
Did you see any of those three as more selfish than the others?
Yeah, I think Ray was more about himself than Paul and KG.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, that's me saying that. That's very common in the NBA. That's like, there's three or four guys on every team that have more of a selfish motivation than the next. When you talk about people making sacrifices, Garnett, I've never seen a player sacrifice as much as Garnett did, and how like he preached sacrifice. And sometimes we were like, man, you got to be more aggressive. It's like you're a MVP, former MVP of the NBA. You need to be more aggressive. And he just stayed the course. It's all about the guys. It's all about the team. It's all about making sure that everyone gets shot. If it's just about me, we're not going to win. He was like that from the time he walked on and walked in the locker room or the weight room to the time he got traded to Brooklyn. He has always been about sacrificing the team. I've never been around a human being like that before.
Joined by Brian Scalabrine, who did win a ring with the Boston Celtics. Now he's a Radio.com Sports Insider. He's got a new podcast out on Radio.com. Check it out on the app. So let's play out the game. Let's say Golden State wins it again. So that'd be 4-5, right? And Kevin Durant leaves. Would Golden State still be the favorite to win it all next year?
No shot. What we're seeing right now cannot be sustained over a course of the NBA season or even, you know, winning 16 games in the playoffs. It does matter, like how the Clippers reload. There's a lot of talk right now about the LA Clippers loading up with two franchise guys. Like when I say two, if KD and Kawhi Leonard, we're hearing a lot of that type of talk out there. Not to say on July 1st that it doesn't go a different way, but if the Clippers reload like that, you know, I think there's a lot of up and coming teams. You got to watch out for Denver this year, their playoff experience. Portland's another team. I can't imagine if they lose KD, and it's also they can't replace him with another $35 million player. His salary slot would just disappear. So it's it's KD or nobody, and you're, I mean, what are you going to fill? Another mid-level guy? That's a lot for Steph, Clay, and Draymond to carry over all these years. But
they did win a championship with that formula. And they won 73 games in the year they lost to Cleveland.
Well, they had Harrison Barnes. They had a lot more cap flexibility. Losing KD right now and doing this is by far the most impressive thing they've done in this run. More than the 73-9 and losing to the Cavs. Doing this from game five to right now, and I don't know if KD's coming back. I'm hearing he is coming back. But if he doesn't come back and they win another one, this would be by far the most impressive thing. The only thing I was saying is in the regular season, it's going to be tough for these guys. I've seen them in the regular season this year. They were kind of a little bit checked out. But next year in the playoffs, good luck trying to get these guys out. I think someone will beat them. They'll just sort of wear them out. But it's not going to be an easy out. I don't care what seed they are. They don't have home court. It doesn't matter. These guys are proven champs. It will not be easy to eliminate them. But my guess would just be out west, it would be tough to go to the finals again 6 straight years without a guy like Kevin Durant. It would be unheard of in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, five hasn't even been done since the 60s when the Celtics did
exactly.
It. Hey, real quick before we let you go, if you were running the Wizards, would you trade Bradley Beal?
No. I mean, give me the scenario. What am I going to get from him?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying.
They're just so tied up financially.
I mean, they got Wall making $40 million in a couple of years.
Yeah,
he can barely run. Yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot.
So what are you saying? Just trade Brad Beal. He's too good. Now you're going to get, like, middle-of-the-road picks for the next 5 years because Brad Beal's too good.
Well, the only problem is, here's the problem, because Bradley Beal's got 2 years left on his deal, right? So he's got 25 and 27, whatever he's making in the next 2 years. And you know he's going to get the max, if not the super max, if he makes the All NBA. Uh-huh. You can't tie up two players at $40 million a year. I mean, they're just in a really tough spot.
For sure. I mean, the John Wall thing is like a disaster for them. I heard they were like a month away from trading him to Miami, but then this whole idea that, I mean, he got hurt and then his Achilles popped. I don't know if John Wall is going to be back. Wizards are in a tough place, but Brad Beal's young. Unless you're saying we want to be bad and tank for 5 years and try to reload assets and maybe we can get something for Brad Beal, like a top five pick, and you talk to the Knicks about doing it, maybe something along those lines of getting the number three pick, I'd have to get a top five pick for Brad Beal. And then I'd have to figure out how I'm going to be bad so I can continue to get back into the lottery. That's not a place that you want to be. You got a guy. You just got to figure out how to manage this John Wall thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks a lot for the time.
The podcast is Big Time
Basketball. Check it out on radio.com.
Thank you, buddy.
Right, radio.com and the radio.com app.
Good stuff.
Big Time Basketball.
Figure out this John Wall thing, the $200 million we're owed in the next 4 years. How are you going to figure that out?
You can't.
I think fans actually would buy into the complete tank job if they believe it's going to end up being like the Sixers. This whole stuck in the middle thing, I think fans have gotten over it. Like grasping for a 40-win season.
I've never seen a town more sized to tank than this town. This town is butt-sized to tank.
Well, the tank works in the NBA. It really does.
Yeah, didn't really work with the lottery.
How are the Suns doing?
Yeah.
Good point. But the Sixers are doing all right.
I mean, the Knicks tanked. Didn't really help them.
So, not easy.
This year, trying to land Zion. Sure.
Yeah.
I'm taking tank over the course of a couple of seasons.
I mean, that's a big commitment.
Yeah.
To be awful for years.
Or you can just re-sign Bradley and have most of your cap with two players, and then the rest of your roster blows.
And just keep winning 35 games.
Right.
That's terrible.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Phone
number you want to chime in or anything, 800-636-1067. Remember, coming up at 8, we'll get the latest from Redskins OTAs from John Keim from ESPN.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.